The next example is, frankly, truly horrific. It's from last year, and some of you may have read about this in the New York Times. Kentucky Fried Chicken in Germany uses a bot to come up with promotions based on national holidays. And nobody noticed when the bot said that there should be a cheese-related deal for Kristallnacht. And I remember seeing this article appear on the New York Times, and you could just feel how horrible this was going to go. And of course, Kentucky Fried Chicken at that point had to do a series of apologies. Obviously, this was a mistake. There was a lack of internal control here. But it is a sort of terrifying thing when a tweet goes out saying it's Kristallnacht, why don't you celebrate with more cheese on your chicken?
Well, and this is even before the advent of, you know, I mean, they used a bot, but now, you know, we're hearing all about these chat bots, right? And so with AI, ChatGPT, hopefully, you know, I suppose we may be seeing more chat bots creating Twitter campaigns, but, you know, you certainly want to use caution.
And when you're responding to holidays in particular, or, you know, days off of any sort, and now, again, there is this expectation, there have been examples of organizations that have completely missed the tone, say, on a tweet on Martin Luther King Day or Juneteenth. And many other holidays, religious holidays as well. So just really something to worry about, particularly given how easy it is to have technology do the work for you. Another way that social media gets used in sometimes challenging ways is there's this idea of kind of democratic participation, and we can bring everyone into the conversation. In 2013, JP Morgan decided to do a kind of interview, ask the new vice chairman any questions you want. And as you can imagine, that completely blew up in their faces. Among some of the tweets that people asked or the questions they were asking were, can I have my house back? Hashtag ask JP Morgan. Do your clothes fit since you don't have the added weight of a soul? Hashtag ask JP Morgan. I mean, these are the kinds of things that you're just opening yourself up to attack for. And by the way, this can happen not just on a kind of global scale when you're on Twitter, but I think organizations find this sometimes when they do the open forum in the office online. And a lot of, I think we all have stories, particularly during the height of the pandemic, when Zoom was new and people just thought, let's get 1,000 people on a Zoom call to air their grievances. It tends not to go particularly well. And it's sort of the counterpoint to the experimental nature of social media. I mean, social media creates these opportunities to bring people together without having to reserve the conference space at the Four Seasons in Austin. On the other hand, you can't really control how the dynamic flows, and I think that creates an added level of challenge in planning. And it, as a general matter, I think what we want to get out as an initial point is that, you know, for each of the benefits of social media, there are serious risks. This desire for authenticity, the belief that you can have authenticity, means that certain social and professional norms get kind of ripped away, and when people are behaving as themselves, that's sometimes not something you actually want to see or can see from a professional perspective. You have this great wide reach. You go from a local organization to a global organization. Well, that suddenly means you can get sued in multiple jurisdictions, both domestically and abroad. The fact that social media demands that you move quickly means that there's very little time to think before you like something, retweet something, or respond to the hate tweets that are coming in. As much as it's building community, it also sometimes creates an echo chamber. People find themselves kind of getting into these wars with people they don't know because the responses keep happening. And I think people, frankly, overshare, and that has implications in terms of embarrassment for staff members in the organization, as well as bullying, and certainly something that came up a lot in the last few years, doxing, where people's private information, which can range from their address to, you know, frankly, where their private jet is flying. These are all the kinds of things that we're seeing social media for, and so the information that's out there can be really quite challenging.
So how does this translate into legal liability or legal issues for nonprofits? Well, we think it's helpful to break it down into the different types of categories of social media liability. So we'll start with general liability, and then we'll go into a number of nonprofit-specific concerns, fundraising, political campaign activity, and lobbying, and then we'll also touch on some employee-related concerns. So, you know, we think it's important to categorize the risks because the risks are assessed differently for each category. So we'll start with first-party liability. And this is liability for the acts of the organization itself. So through its own Facebook or Instagram account, Twitter or TikTok account, if you have one, you know, these are the ones that a nonprofit has the most control over and hopefully can protect itself against through awareness and with some careful policies and procedures. The next category is agency or respondeat superior liability, and that's liability for your employees and agents, people you might hire or who to act for you, but also people who have apparent authority to act for you. And that's where things can get trickier because sometimes it's unclear on social media whether people are acting on your behalf or on their personal behalf, and we'll talk a little bit about how to guard against that. And finally, there's secondary liability. This is liability for what third parties might do or say on your social media account or platform, such as members of the public who might visit your website and post comments on it, or on your Facebook page.